and they wanted to give me a higher taste in Krishna consciousness. So they took me to a Broadway show. And it wasn't even a good way Broadway show. I mean, they took me to something called Enter Laughing. And sure enough, when we were waiting online for the Broadway show, the Hari Nam party came. And my friend from college happened to be on the Hari Nam party. And he was one of those electric devotees. Like when he hug you, he'd go, so right from my parents, he gave me this big hug with like this electricity. And then I remember, I think after that, my father said he told me he couldn't enjoy the show. He said all he could think of was Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. But the Bhagavatam says, Vayam natu vachityama uttama shloka varpaye yachrinvitam rasa jnanam swadu, swadu paday paday. That you Vayam natu vachityama, you never become tired. Uttama shloka vartate, of these verses that describe the topmost subject. Yatshrinvatam rasa jnanam. Rasa jnanam, this consciousness of rasa, of this divine love. Swadu, swadu, paday, paday. You drink it again and again. This is my high school friend Jan in the suit, coming from work here in class. When we first came to the, got a card for a temple in 1970, and we went into the Watsika Temple. That temple was there in 1970. And we sat in the church pews. When you came into the temple, they kept the church. And they were so confident of what they had to give that they served us the feast first. Because I remember Brahmananda was there in the front and he looked at us and he said, now you had nectar for the tongue. Now we will give you nectar for the ears. So the kirtan was after, not first. They had that kind of faith. And I remember they were handing the Satyaraj, that electric devotee, that was a Kshobhya. You're going to write an article. This person that came to the consciousness of me. It needs to be down or up? It needs to be more cooler. That's what I thought, but I didn't want to be one of those people because I am hot. Okay, we'll give a little time for the management here. I remember, naturally it was in the 60s, late 60s, or okay, end of the 60s, 70s, and they were talking about the higher taste of Krishna consciousness, and my friend Ikshobhya You know, he's saying, what about sex life? And then the person who was preaching to us, he just made kind of a dramatic move with the sweet rice and just went like, the higher taste. Does she have any heart that day? Swadu, swadu. And the higher taste. Swadu is what means to, like, there's four types of chatur, vihasri, bhagavat, pasado, swadana, tripta. The type of such wonderful things. So, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness is that you never get tired. And one who is the most advanced devotee, he hears these spiritual topics as newer and newer. Because it's not, as Prabhupada would say in his own form of humor, it's not static, it's ecstatic. It's not static, it's so. I was going to tell a story today about the Bhagavatam and the stories of Krishna and their very unique nature because they are rasa. And rasa means an overwhelming experience, really. And it's rasa means an overwhelming experience of devotion. Completely absorbing experience of devotion. And that is the one thing you should never get tired of. Right? Work, you get tired of. Right? Because work, you do for some objective or goal. The pleasure is not in the activity, it's what you achieve. But bhakti is described as susukam kartam avyayam. Susukam. It's pleasurable. Why is it pleasurable? Because it's love. Every other activity has an objective, and you give up the process when you achieve the objective. Just like the process of jnana. You perform vairagya to get moksha, and when you get liberation, then you give up the jnana. You give up the vairagya. Karma. You work very, very hard to get some objective, some heavenly pleasure. You give it up when you get it. That's why the sages of Namasharanya, when they were assembling to hear the Bhagavatam spoken for the second time, and they were performing a sacrifice for 1,000 years, Swaha, 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 and the smoke comes. They were getting tired of all the smoke. But when they heard the love talks, the bhakti rasa that's expressed poetically in the Bhagavatam, when they heard that, they said, Vayam natu vicha, we never get tired. Uttama shloka vartate, of these type of verses that encapsulate and express the highest devotion. We never become tired. Yet shrinvatam, rasa jnanam, when we hear that type of understanding, that type of knowledge of the swadu, like that sweet rice, we can chew it again and again. And therefore, one of the great commentators on the Bhagavatam, Sri Jiva Goswami, this introductory verses, and the third verse is, Hari Prasad, what's the third verse? Nigama kalpa tura galitam phalam sukha mukha amrita dravya samhitam Bibhita Bhagavatam Rasam Alaya. It gives that, it says, Nigama Kalpa Turogalitam Phalam. It's the ripened fruit of the Vedic tree of knowledge. Ultimately, the Vedas, Vaidaischa Sarvam Eva Vedyo Vedanta Veda Vedas, of all the Vedas, I am to be known. Yet Srinvatam Rasa Gyanam Swadhu Swadhu Today Today. Of all the Vedas, this is what is to be known. What is to be known is how to fill your heart with absolute pure devotion. That's the ultimate reality. And therefore, Jiva Goswami said, he was commenting on this, Vivita Bhagavatam Rasam Aliyam. So at the very beginning, Vyasa is saying what? Vivita Bhagavatam. It's something that you drink. It's something that's very, very pleasurable. So what Jiva Goswami says in a commentary is very, very interesting. He says, grammatically speaking, if you say there is rasa in the Bhagavatam, it's not a complete statement, because it implies that there's something else besides that there. If you say there's sugar in the water, then there's something besides sugar. Then there's something besides sugar in the water. If there's sugar in the water, there's sugar in something else. So he said the Bhagavatam, it's only rasa, it's only love, every expression, every word. He said it's like eating a fruit where the skin and the seed is just as tasty. You eat everything. Therefore, Prabhupada made a vision of what he saw when he was reading the Bhagavad Gita. What Prabhupada said is that I don't see one person talking to another. He said, what I see is a flow of nectar from the lotus mouth of Krishna to the ears of Arjuna. It goes beyond the intellectual process. Prabhupada described it in a very interesting way. He said it's not when you meet a guru, right, that he touches you and there's like an electrical shock that comes that enlightens you. He said it's not like that. He said, but it's not an intellectual process either. He says when you apply the intellect in Krishna's service, then you experience Krishna through that knowledge. For 2 years I had a project to put the first and second cantos of the Bhagavatam on tape. So I had one student that traveled with me. He lives in New York now. His name is James Bay. Now he's a doctor of Chinese medicine. And he gives seminars in the same yoga studios that I give seminars. And if you have that book, Gods, Demons, and Demigoddesses by Mangala Media, he was also a writer for them. And he was such a good student. He was kind of like a Zen master coming to Krishna consciousness. He would like turn his head and look and listen, and he'd be completely focused. So I'd spend the day, I wanted to get those five verses exactly down, because the Bhagavatam, the message of Krishna, is Krishna. It's non-different. So I wanted to get that down. So I would try my best, and he would listen, and it was not just an intellectual communication, it was experiential. These tapes, they're still there. It's an experience. It's an experience of Krishna. And therefore, actually, in his commentary on the Bhagavatam, on the second verse, Dharma Prochita Kaitavotra Paramo Namasaranam Sitam. In the second verse, his commentary, it says, when you hear this message, then he says, Krishna becomes arrested in your heart. The word is arrested. It means Krishna can't move when you hear it, just once. But then he asked the question, why doesn't that happen to you? And in the commentary, he explains a very famous story. There was a very aristocratic Calcutta zamindar, very wealthy Calcutta zamindar. And one day, he was walking down the street, and it was a narrow street, and there was a very chaste lady sweeper without a beard. Yagannath is empowering me. We had that relationship. So Lal Babu said, he said, the time is passing, move on. Now he heard that as the essence of the Bhagavatam, Tato Brahma Jigyasa. Come on. Now you're in the human form of life. You have the opportunity to inquire. Move on. Surrender to Krishna. Surrender fully to Krishna. Which doesn't mean to take the renounced order of life. Common misconception. It means dedicate yourself to Krishna. Your attachments, whatever, your possessions, whatever you give to Krishna. Dedicate yourself. Bhakti is dedication. Bhakti is not renunciation. That's rejected. In the Ramananda Sambhad, discussion between Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya, when Lord Chaitanya asks Ramananda Roy to give me the topmost verse in all the scriptures. I think I'd like to lecture on that, not next. It's such an incredible story. So all the verses are given, and it gets higher and higher and higher. Vanashramam charvata purushena param. Just to give your... So many things are given. And it gets up to the verse, sarvadharman parityaja mame kam sharanam vaja aham tvam. Sarvadharman parityaja. Give up everything. And what is Lord Chaitanya say when he heard that verse? Eho maya. Arkichua. It's external. Give me something a little bit more. Because why? Renunciation is external to the soul. The soul is about dedication to God. It's not. Renunciation means you're in the world. Thinking of material objects to give up. Bhakti is the dedication. But he heard that verse, he heard that sweeper as the essence of the Bhagavatam. Surrender to Krishna. And he had a particular type of adhikari where he was ready for a complete renunciation. And that took him in the heart. He became so dedicated to Krishna that he left everything. And he went to Vrindavan. And he built one of the most beautiful temples in Vrindavan called the Lal Babu Mandir, which is the pride of the Bengalis. People are still coming in, so just move up a little in the front, then they can just sit behind you. And that's kind of a little easier. Okay. So Jiva Goswami analyzes this. And he says, and this is very important, the Bhagavatam can be heard in two ways. The first is the message. Surrender to Krishna. Surrender to Krishna. Surrender to God. Dedicate yourself to God. Your parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, you're meant for God's service. That is your dharma. That is the quality in you which cannot be taken away. You are made of God. You are made for God. And we should surrender to God fully. Every moment we have choices. And we to surrender to God or not. Surrender to God means His will. It doesn't say, okay, surrender or give up your family. It doesn't take sannyas. Or you may. For a particular person in a particular circumstance, that means renunciation completed. Another not. Another it is, get married, is what Krishna, surrender to Krishna means. For another person. But you have to surrender to Krishna. Because that's who we are. We're part of God. We're part of Krishna. And we're meant for Krishna's service. Jivera sarupa hoy krishnera nitya das. Our sarup, our own form, our own identity, our real thing, what we are, is we're part of God. We're meant for service. And if we have a particular karma, a particular nature, then we're meant to give that to Krishna. And therefore, the Bhagavatam defines liberation as muktir hitva yata rupam surupena vibhastita. What is liberation? Muktir hitva. Hitva means to give up. Yata rupam. Yata. The form that is external to the self. Surupena vivastita, and to be situated in what you really are. So the Bhagavatam is telling us that again and again and again and again. Why? Because we don't like that message. It says surrender to Guru and Krishna. We don't like that message. We don't want to hear that message. And therefore, we don't hear that message. But when one does that, when one does that fully, then his approach to the Bhagavatam becomes a completely different thing. You no longer need to hear the Bhagavatam to be instructed. Sometimes I give the example. If His Holiness Radhanath Swami came here, I wouldn't have to sit him down and say, you have to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the devotees. It's not a message he needs to hear. He lives by them. He's got it already. But me, you could sit down and tell that to. I need to hear it again and again and again and again. But once you do that, then another thing happens. You hear the Bhagavatam in terms of rasa, in terms of relishing your relationship with Krishna. And then every word is inspiring that relationship you have for Krishna. Every syllable, every word, it's love. Because you're hearing about your beloved. And that's all there is in the Bhagavatam. And it's invoking your sense of relationship. And then when you have that, you've got the essence of the Bhagavatam. As Lord Chaitanya, Guru, told him. Because Lord Chaitanya was so overwhelmed with love of Godhead, that he was in very ecstatic states that are described in the Shastra. When one is at a very advanced stage, he undergoes transformations called sattvika bhavas. And it means things in relationship to Krishna move the mind so powerfully that it affects the prana. And then the prana, according to the particular emotion that you're experiencing, there's many emotions you can experience in love of Godhead. There's 33 Gyabhachari Bhavas. There can be despair, there can be jubilation, there can be fear, there can be near death. So many emotions. And according to the emotion, the prana becomes discharged and it contacts a core material element in your body. And if it contacts the water, you begin to cry. Ganga tears flow from the eyes. Ganga rivers. What Chaitanya was described. And the hair, the air in the body, the hairs stand on end. And if it's the earth, you can become stunned. Very scientific. And Lord Chaitanya had all eight symptoms. They're called astika, sattvika, bhavs. And in that, they're measured. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the ecstasy is measured. It's measured by, first, the intensity. Let's say the air element becomes discharged and you begin to shake. So the first thing is the intensity. This is a certain type of ecstasy. This is more. And then it can go like this and stop, or the duration. Very, very long time. And the pervasiveness. It can be all over the body. So when all eight astika, sattvika, bhavs are manifest for the longest time with the most intensity and pervasiveness, that's Lord Chaitanya's ecstasy. Because there's something flowing through his body which is the essence of God's bliss potency. What is that? So he came to his guru. He said, I think I'm losing my mind. When you become spiritual, you become very sober. You become very, very controlled. Your head moves something like this. You start to float a bit. He said, I don't think that I am. But then his guru said, no. This is actually a result of chanting. By chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, you'll get the highest love of Godhead. You'll see the lotus feet of Krishna. And then he looks at him and he says, and now I'm going to tell you a verse that is the essence of the whole Bhagavatam. And then Lord Chaitanya was sitting. This is like pretty amazing. There's 18,000 verses, and he's going to give me a verse that's the essence of the whole Bhagavatam. He was sitting with such attention, couldn't wait to hear it. I forgot that. And what he said is, one of my favorite verses, Evam Vrata Swapriya Nama Krita Jitanuraga. People still move up a little bit, especially the people in the back row. Evam Vrata Swapriya Nama Krita Jitanuraga. In this way, Evam Vrata. In what way? The previous verse. Chanting without any inhibition. Chanting without any attachment that brings us away from that absorption. Evam Vata Supriya Namakrita, chanting the name of your beloved Lord, Supriyanam. Supriyanam means with sambandha, with relationship. So when one really, finally, by hearing the Bhagavatam, surrenders to Krishna fully, then he begins to experience his relationship with Krishna. This is actually how it's supposed to be done. We hear the term that there is Raganuga Bhakti, and Raganuga Bhakti means that you have devotion inspired by a sense of wanting to serve Krishna in a relationship with Krishna. So how does that awaken in one's heart? Simply, you hear the Bhagavatam. And two things happen when you hear the Bhagavatam. Your faith in Krishna increases. And what is faith? Faith, and I love the definition that Prabhupada gave. It's so beautiful, simple. Faith means to trust in something sublime. It basically means where you will open your heart to, because you believe it will give you the greatest happiness. And it's not a theoretical thing, because, my faith is in Krishna. But how many things do we actually it's a psychological mechanism in the mind, is faith. How many things do we look at and we actually say, yes, this will give me sublimity? Usually it's kind of like a relationship, sometimes an infatuation, and we become convinced. The philosophy may be there, but we become convinced. Or it may be some economic gain. And again, devotional service is very practical. We don't live to enjoy, but we enjoy to live. We need to be practical and satisfied. It's not, should not misunderstand it as renunciation. But our faith, our trust, and that's where we move. Movement is by faith. Without faith, you don't move. Where is our faith? We're all, many of us, most of us, or even some of us, we're devotees of Krishna. But do we have faith that that will give us sublimity? Is that where we are moving with our effort and our hearts? Faith in the holy name? So, this kind of trust comes from hearing the Bhagavatam. Faith comes from hearing. That's why when Prabhupada came to America, I was speaking on Prabhupada's appearance day of the darshan, which means, and this comes from the Bhagavatam, darshan means you go before Krishna to give him pleasure by showing him your dedication and heart. And then Krishna sees you. And if we're not pure, we're not surrendered, then we show Krishna our humility and he gets pleasure. I'm sorry, I want to be better. Look at me, this is my condition. Help me. But it's described when someone who's really pure comes before the deity, Krishna smiles, it gives him pleasure. So I was thinking in my Vyas Puja homage to Prabhupada, the darshan, Prabhupada's darshan of Krishna, what he was bringing for, what Krishna was seeing when he saw Prabhupada. And when he saw Prabhupada come to America and stand on that shore on the East Coast, looking out for the whole America, coming towards Prabhupada with the modes of nature being promoted intensely, the passion being promoted, the ignorance being promoted, advertised, propagated, taught as the faith. What is the faith here?
Faith here is an emotive passion. That's why people come to New York, because they think that is sublimity. That just breathing that air and walking down the street of New York and having that little sense that maybe I can conquer the world, that's their sublimity. But Prabhupada was looking, and what were his weapons? What were Prabhupada's weapons? 40 rupees. And the latest fashionable shoes from Lodi Bazaar. I don't know how anybody in the world wears solid plastic shoes. They don't breathe. Prabhupada had white, actually. Plastic shoes. Latest fashion. Everyone who followed. Instead, they got hush puppies. So then he went. But when he looked out, what was his faith? He started to quote the Bhagavatam from the second chapter of the first canto. And I believe it's Sri Jiva that says the whole Bhagavatam is based on these verses. From Savai Pumso Paro Dharmo to Evam Prasanna Manasa, these verses. And Prabhupada was looking, and it's so powerful, and he's just an old man with no resources and no friends and no, and doesn't know anyone. And now look what's happened. And what was his faith? What's that verse? Rasana? Tada Rajas? You know that verse? The Mo? What is that verse? What does that mean? Tada Rajas Tamo Bhava. What, lust, greed become reduced? When one gets established in the mode of goodness. And how does that happen? By the Bhagavatam. By the Bhagavatam. He had that faith. So, in the very first verse of the Brahmavimohamlila, which I will summarize here today, the very first verse, Sukadeva Goswami says to Maharaj Prigit, Sadhu Krishtam, your inquiry is so beautiful. It's so beautiful. And because you have that desire to hear about the divine, which is exactly your level of bhakti. Your desire to hear about something is exactly equal to your love of that something. So people who are advanced in spiritual life, they always want to hear about spiritual life. He says, because you want to hear, then Mahabhagavatam, you are the topmost devotee. And in fact, when you hear these messages as newer and newer and fresher and fresher. Because they're dynamic. It's like a relationship with a person. Relationship with the divine. If God is absolute, unlimited, when you love him, more and more of himself can be manifest to you. Dynamically.
more and more and more. And therefore, when someone has that bhakti and it's described in these stories of the Bhagavatam, the stories of the Bhagavatam describe this perfect love. And it's described as apurvat, apurvam, never before, never before, never before. Each time is new. Because of the relationship. And we have that experience also when we read and study. You can read the same thing again and again and again and again and again. And you'll hear newer and newer and newer things. Sometimes reading the books is like that. But let me now just tell a little bit of this story of perfect love. I told it on Saturday. And I have about 15 minutes, so bear with me. I have so much more time. So, and we'll see if what will come out, but it's so beautiful, and I always describe the way it begins, indicates. The way it begins indicates this rasa. It's described that Krishna is just killed this big demon, the python demon, and the demigods were watching it. They're seeing how powerful Krishna is. And then Krishna, after that, he's continuing with his duty. He takes care of the cows. Describe what a wonderful occupation this is, that people who are in the Vaishya, the mercantile class in India, they can do trading, they can do banking, they can do agriculture, and they can do cow protection. But of all these activities, the best job is cow protection. Because agriculture, you have to plow the fields. Banking and trading, you have to hoard things and deal with people. But cow protection, you just graze the cows. And Krishna just goes through the fields. That's his job. He takes out, he was trained from a very early age. And he loved the cows so much. That's why Krishna would walk behind the cows. Well, actually, because he loved Vrindavan, because when the cows herd and stampede through Vrindavan, Krishna would love Vrindavan so much that with his lotus feet he would walk afterwards to pacify the ground. And then Krishna would have 108 different herds of cows. 25 were the yellow herds, 25 were the red herds, 25 with the black herds, 25 with the white herds. And he would have names for the cows and the herds. The red herds, the cows would be named things like Aruni and Rukta. The black herds, Kala. The white herds, maybe there would be a cow, a Shukla cow. Yellow herds, excuse me, Pingala. Then there were 8 herds with kind of different types of shaped heads. And he would call the herds with his flute. Because Krishna's heart, he would express his love through his flute. So he can call someone This would be the ultimate, God is the ultimate object of love, and that love is manifest in beauty to please. And when you, and he's Krishna, and he's attracting your heart, and he blows his flute, and you hear that flute as his loving calling of you. So it's rasa, love. It becomes churned. So he loves his cows. And he's taking the cows through the forest of Vrindavan. And he's so beautiful, we always describe. Actually, there's three verses in the Bhagavatam that are the, it's called Mantra Upasana. Mantra Upasana means that there's a mantra or a verse that gives you a picture to meditate. And then, after you get these pictures to meditate, then there's something called Swarisiddhi. Then it becomes a movie. You get pictures. You meditate on pictures. And then, when people enter deeper and deeper into the meditation, then it's not just a picture, it's a lila. And the background music of the lila, the award-winning music. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. So they're meditating, but the verse, the verses. So one of the top verse is in the Venu Gita, where the Krishna's blowing the flute, and the gopis, hearing that flute, they see Krishna in their hearts. And they see how beautiful he is with his peacock feather and his excellent dancing and his decorations and his golden garment. Beautiful scene of Krishna. So he's going through the fields. And there's so much loving relationship, and it's very, very natural. It's the natural loving relationship. It's love in the most inclusive way, because it's, you're worshiping one, and you're worshiping everything when you worship God. And it draws it out of the heart. In bhakti, the goal, which is called prayojan, is what? First, you have to, there's sambandha. The first understanding is you have to understand metaphysically the nature of God. God and God's energies. You have to understand that. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matasarvam pavartate iti bhutva bhajanti buddha bhava. I am the source of the material and spiritual worlds. The wise who know this engage in my devotional service. So you engage in devotional service, and what happens? By loving Krishna, by turning your consciousness towards Krishna, then what happens is, you know Krishna. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam didami bhuti yogam tvam. For one who worships me with faith and devotion, I give them the knowledge. And then what happens when you realize Krishna? You feel Krishna. Prayojana means what? You feel Krishna. And what do you feel? You feel your relationship with God. And what's that relationship with God called? It's called prema. What is prema? It is the attraction between two beings in natural relationship. Prema, you begin to feel God, you begin to experience God, and you experience your relationship and your love for God. And it's the topmost love. And then what happens? Then what happens? Krishna's going through the forest. And when Krishna's going through the forest, there's trees in the forest. And sometimes the cowherd boys in her distance, they sometimes get things. And they see Krishna going through the forest. And when he goes through the forest, he goes behind a tree. And then he appears, and then there's another tree, and then he appears. So it's described, the love is so intense that when he goes behind the tree, they go, Krishna, Krishna. Every tree, Krishna, Krishna. They can't tolerate the separation. So in this pastime, what's so very beautiful, Krishna is sitting in the center, and everyone is happy because they have realized their selves and they are living by themselves, by their nature. They're a part of Krishna and they're completely in tune with Krishna being in the center. We were describing, I was reading how people enjoy the festival here. And why did they enjoy the festival so much? Because Krishna was in the center. There was no ego. No separate centers. Complete coordination. Shared experience of mercy and love. In the theory of rasa, all the great aestheticians, that's the word, they all describe that when love is experienced the most intensely, it's when it's shared with everyone. And therefore Prabhupada says, the Krishna consciousness movement, if it puts Krishna in the center, then automatically everything becomes blissful and beautiful. You know, Lakshmi Nisringa Prabhu here, you know, is now the executive director, and one of his focuses is to put Radha Muralidhar in the center. It's not a fruitive activity. It takes time, it takes energy. But if that center is there, and everyone is focused on that, then the society becomes beautiful. Because what is beauty? Beauty is the heart. And when the heart has love rather than ego, it's the most beautiful thing. Happiness is love. It's the most beautiful thing. And when it becomes centered in that way, and I think that was the experience of the festival, that people came hearing nice kirtans. I think someone made that point. They were hearing nice kirtans. They were tasting great prasadam. They were hopefully hearing an engaging lecture and seeing the nice worship of the deities. But more than that, they were seeing Radha Muralidhar in the center and seeing people as receptacles of love. Really what we are, when you take away everything external from the self, because this is what liberation means. Liberation means get rid of everything that's external to you, that can be taken away. You can take away your nationality, you can take away your gender, you can take away your intelligence, and so many things. Liberation means to get to the essence. And what is the essence? The essence is we are a particle of consciousness that is one with the Supreme Consciousness. One and different. Because we're a potency of the Supreme Consciousness. And we're meant to be a receptacle for what? We're meant to be a receptacle for love. What love? The Shakti that's in our heart, the potentiality of love, for love, that reaches its potentiality when the essence of God's own bliss potency is put into our heart, flows through our heart, so it's offered back. That's what we are. So spiritual life means to be empty. It means negative. The negative attracts the positive. That's why Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, when he talked about achieving higher levels of consciousness, he talks so much about humility. Because the negative will attract the positive. Bori Jampabu, who visited, we had a nice visit here. He likes to tell one story. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there were some young monks, and they came to see him, and they said, "You know, I've been here in the ashram for 10 years, and I'm not feeling anything." And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said, "That is good." Why did he say, "That is good"? Because that the core move. Even Prabhupada preached to one four-year-old little girl. Because she was had a little silver Krishna deity in India, and her parents took it away because they were afraid that someone would steal it in India. So they gave her a little brass one. And she was crying. "I want my Krishna. I want my Krishna." He said, "Hey, the Krishna's there." Because Prabhupada told, it was Malati's daughter, Saraswati. The people loved her. She was a little four-year-old girl, and she'd come to people and say, "Do you know who Krishna is?" And some distinguished life member, member of parliament, Kropati, would say, "No, who is Krishna?" She'd say, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead." And Prabhupada would love her preaching. She'd speak from sexualization. So one of these people said, "That's wonderful. Here, take this." It's a little silver Krishna. A silver Krishna. When Prabhupada saw the silver Krishna, he said, "You can't travel around India with a silver Krishna. You know, it's a poor country. What should we do? Get her a little brass Krishna." So they got her a little brass Krishna. And she cried, "I want my Krishna. I want my Krishna. Where is my Krishna? I want my Krishna." 3 days. It was personally told to me, this story, by Jamuna. Personally told me. I remember when she told me the story. I was lecturing on Sadgoswami Astakam, and she was there, and she said, "I'll tell you something about the last verse. Hey, Ron, hey, Roger, David, hey, Shivali, day, hey, Nanda, Sunoka. Now tell me something about the last verse." So she told me this story. And then they were so disturbed. They couldn't do their work. This girl was crying, "I want my Krishna, I want my Krishna." So they invite her into see Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, "Bring her in, I'll speak to her." So they said they were all looking, what would Prabhupada say to this little girl? And what did Prabhupada prompt? She said, "What's the matter, Saraswati?" The little girl said, "I want my Krishna. I don't have my Krishna. I want my Krishna." And Prabhupada said, "Oh, that's very nice." He said, "Because the most advanced devotees, they never say, 'I have Krishna.' They say, 'I want Krishna.'" And Prabhupada said, "I will teach you a little song about this mood. You want to hear the song?" She said, "Yes." And then Prabhupada said, "Hey, Radhe, Vraja, Deva, Kecha, Lalite, Hey Nanda Sunokuta. Go Shanta Viti Sarvato Vajepure. Kedar Mahaviho. Hey Radhe, hey, Radhe. The great devotees, they're saying, hey, where's Krishna? I want Krishna. Jamuna told me that when she saw Prabhupada explaining the highest thing to such a young girl, she said the hairs on the back of her neck were standing on end. And then when she told me that, I remembered something that Tamal Krishna Maharaj told me. Tamal Krishna Maharaj told me that Prabhupada said that Jamuna had bhava. And that's one of the symptoms. The hair standing on end. So this Brahma Vimoham Lila, it's all rasa. And we'll just say the very, very end, when Krishna manifests all the cowherd boys, there's just one scene I'm going to finish with. It's so beautiful. He steals the cowherd boys and Kams Brahma. He comes back. Krishna wants to manifest his power and opulence to humble his devotee, because somehow Rama gets proud. I have powers. Our relative insignificant powers, we sometimes become an illusion that I am really powerful. So God will manifest superior powers, and the example in the Bhagavatam is given, like a glowworm in the dark is proud of its brilliance. And then the sun will come out. So Krishna manifested the sun of his powers and his opulences. And when he took all the coward boys and calves and came back, all the coward boys were still there. Krishna had manifest as Yogeshwar, the master of all mystic power, in all the cowherd boys. And everything was surrounding each cowherd boy in their beauty. But the most beautiful thing was they were surrounded by devotees, each form doing kirtan. And not only they were surrounded by the devotees doing kirtan, but Brahma saw Krishna with his reddish eyes looking lovingly at the devotees, and with his white pearl-like teeth smiling at the devotees. And what he saw and what was understood, that he was creating the desire in the devotee's heart to serve, the passion, the spiritual passion, give you a desire to serve, and the smile was, I am going to maintain that service. And then Prabhupada, he's lying on his bed doing these purports. It's the last thing he's ever written. He's in his bed. He can't move. He hasn't eaten for 6 months. And he's translating on his back. And this is what Prabhupada said, thinking of this beautiful temple. He said, where there was once a tree that was dying, now there's a luxuriant tree, tamal tree, blooming in the courtyard. And Prabhupada said, just see, the devotee desires. And Krishna manifests. And I understood what Prabhupada was thinking. This temple, Krishna put the desire in my heart. And now he's maintaining that desire. Prabhupada was taking it personally, the purport. He was one of those devotees that Krishna was looking at creating desires in his heart. And this is the glory of the devotee. He surrendered. So the desires come from Krishna when one opens one's heart to Krishna. Krishna tells him what to do, gives him the power to do it, and then things manifest. I think it's a little bit with this place here also. It was from devotees' desires. And now more devotees are being enthused with the desire to serve Radha Muralidhar. And I think in that open spirit of the mood of the servant of the servant and the cooperative spirit, putting the deities in the center, in that mood, so many spiritual desires come into the heart. With the maintenance of Krishna. So we'll end here with just 2 minutes of kirtan, and then we'll go to the best part of the
Hare 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 Hare